turn to a couple different places in your Bible this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Acts chapter 19. 2 Corinthians 5 and Acts chapter 19. We'll see how well this works out. Don't worry about the artwork. We'll get to that later. All right. I'm used to drawing on small pieces of paper. All right. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to start with. It says, "Then certain of the vagabond of Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there was seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." And turn over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. And verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For you must all appear," and we'll go back to verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. "For we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest to your consciences." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here this morning. Just a couple prayer requests here. We got a man by the name of Ty who is a Buddhist and needs to be saved. Lord, pray you deal with his heart. Help remember the words that were spoken yesterday. And for Ian, it's been a long road for him and his family. Father, please somehow help the news be good on Monday and give him peace and comfort through it all. And just pray especially that you'd heal him. Pray for Brother Sam's niece over in India. Pray that that surgery would go well. And pray for his family over there to be saved. And for Chris's unspoken. And for Laura Sturtz, Lord, pray for her dad you'd heal him up and stabilize him and be with their family. But right now, Father, we have your book open. It's on our laps. It's on the pulpit. And, Lord, it's our only avenue to you. So I pray that you'd help your words be very clear this morning. Please speak to our hearts and help us that when we stand before you at judgment, Father, we'd be able to have something to show for all you've done for us, for your life that you gave for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple of different passages there. And I want to tie them together. We got a couple of things coming up on the horizon coming up fairly soon. We don't know. Well, one, we know for sure. The revival meetings, as I mentioned, Sunday school coming up in about 5 weeks or so out, and Brother Nolan coming down. And just want to kind of maybe give you a little something to prepare for that. The other thing is, as mentioned, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the judgment seat of Christ. And we think of these things, and we think of heaven and the glory beyond and all that, but there's a judgment seat. The Bible says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And that kind of my burden this morning is hopefully persuade you. And we can all stand before the Lord and have something to show for what he's done for us. And what I want to focus on this morning is verse 20 there. Acts chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." That ought to be our desire, our goal in our life as Christians, is to have the word of God grow in us, to have the word of God prevail. What does the word prevail mean? It means to overcome, to gain victory or superiority, to have power and influence, to succeed. That's what the word prevail means. And the question to ask yourself this morning is, what do you want in your life? What do you want? Are you going through this life and just whoever dies the most toys wins? Whoever has the most, the biggest, the best, the brightest, the fastest, that's what's important? Or do you want to go through this life and have the Word of God have an effect in your life, in the life of your children, in the life of your brothers and sisters in Christ, the life of your extended family? What do you, as an individual, want in this life? Are you sick of the perverseness and the wickedness of this world? Are you tired of having things voted on this November that should never need to be voted on? They were an abomination 15, 20, 30 years ago. Now we're voting on it. I was at the state fair there a couple weeks back, and a younger man and woman, a couple kids in a baby carriage came by, and I says, "Can I give you something to read?" to the man. He goes, "Whoa, if there's anything about those," this is his words, "those queers and those other freaks," he says, "I don't want it." And I said, "No, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ." He stopped dead in his tracks with a stroller. He goes, "That I will take." He says, "I am so sick," he says, "of all the stuff going on inside there, of all the people trying to push their garbage on me." He says, "I'll take that." And his wife says, "Don't get him going, don't get him going," you know. And that was a blessing. But what about you? What about your life? Are you tired of seeing yourself go through victory and defeat, victory and defeat? Of seeing other Christians be defeated and walk out the doors and never come back? Now listen. Somebody walks out those doors and goes to another church and does well and lives for God, so be it. Amen. Good. Unfortunately, that's usually not the issue. Unfortunately, they walk out, and long before they ever walk out, they've quit on God in their heart. And it's just a matter of physically moving is all it is. But what do you want in this life? Do you want the Word of God to prevail? Do you want the Word of God to have power in your life? And in our life, in the lives of others. You go down to the mall sometime and look at the young people and older people, for that matter, and earrings from head to foot, and you think, "Oh, man, how can they do that?" Or you look around and you see ladies with burqas on. You think, how many are there of them in our country now? You know what? Instead of just being put out by it, you know what you do? Go get yourself some chick tracks that will reach those kids. Go get yourself some tracks to reach those Muslim people and give them the Word of God. See, the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. See, they can go to our embassies and they can burn them and they can kill our people because that's their battle. That's the way that false religion fights their battles, through physical dominance and fear. We fight our battles by the Word of God. This is our sword that's on our side. This is it. That's the only hope those people have. It's not a political agenda. It's nothing like that. Get them the Word of God. And instead of just being all disgruntled, "You know what Obama's going to do the next term?" I really don't care. I really don't care. This present evil world. What do you expect from this world, people? The Bible says a present evil world. We've been living on this little pinnacle of prosperity and freedom that no other nation, no other people in the history of mankind has known. Don't start whining when things start dipping down a little bit. Just get in the fight and keep fighting on. Just keep fighting on. But instead of being disgruntled, do something. Do something, you know, and reach those people. Reach them. Don't just let them disgust you or, you know, make you upset. Do something to reach them. You must have a desire for the Word of God to prevail, to have power in your life and those around you. But how? How can we do that? The power of spiritual wickedness against the principalities and powers. How can we have power against that? Let's see what happened here and what transformed in these few verses. Acts chapter 17 here. Or let's go back to 15. I'm sorry. Acts 19, verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, in the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. First thing, the first step into having the Word of God have power in your life, or you have power as a Christian, is where there it says fear fell on them all. What was the fear for? What did they fear? They just saw a couple of things. They realized the power of the demons and the wickedness, and realized that those powers are real. The powers of the spiritual darkness in this world are as real as we're sitting here right now. You just can't see them. You can't see, radiation, but it'll affect you, it'll kill you. So will these demons and these dark forces here. We have to realize that they're real. We have to fight against it. You say, well, I believe they're real. Really? Really. If you believe they're real, why do you kind of get up close to them all the time? Why do you kind of just, but I like that music. And that's why I want to listen to that music. Even though the forces are dark. Even though there's evil. I like to dress this way. I like to look sharp. So guys, look at me. Oh, you don't say that. You mean your heart, lady? Really? You think they're evil? You really think they're real? Then stay away from it. Don't go anywhere near it. You have to realize that the powers that be, the devil hates you. And it hates me. It wants to destroy you and your families. It wants to take us out. It wants to take us out of the race. It wants to quit on God. They have no power over your soul if you're saved. But it wants you to quit on God. Those forces are real. The first way to let the Word of God have preeminence and to have power is to realize that those forces are real. To not flirt with them. They realized, in honesty, that they didn't have the power that Paul had. They realized, the demon said, I know Jesus, I know Paul, who in the world are you? You have no power. You're not living for God. They realized that. And so it was a reflective moment, saying, man, I got to repent. I got to get busy. I got to do something. I got to change my heart. They had some type of fear fell upon them. They realized that they're powerless without God. You know, how often in our life do we go through life and we kind of get going on our own confidence, our own boldness, our own momentum. We forget to realize that we're totally powerless without God. That there's anything good in us, God put it there. If you're sitting here this morning and serving God and trying to do right, you got to give God the glory for that. Because why are you here and why am I here and somebody else is not here? Praise God for it. Praise God that you're here. Praise God that you have a desire to hear the words of the Scripture. Praise the Lord for that. So what happened here? You got the fear fell on them. The next thing is, the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Do you want power and victory? Do we magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can people look at us and know that we're Christians by the way we act, the way we speak, the way we dress? Do they know that? When we sing songs, are we singing songs out of this hymn book to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or are we kind of goofing off with the person next to us and making jokes and laughing and think it's just humorous? People, we're not sitting here singing little barroom ditties and country songs and limericks. These songs are the King of Kings. These songs are the Savior that bled and died for our sins. Singing with some reverence, singing with some meaning. We need to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we expect Him to magnify us? Or not magnify us, but magnify His Word in us if we don't hold Him in preeminence and put Him where give Him the right respect that He deserves. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Do we magnify it, as I said, by the way we act, the way our appearance, the way we talk? Do we magnify the Lord Jesus Christ by the decisions we make? Do we seek counsel from other people? Do we seek counsel from the Word of God? Now I say seek counsel from people. If you want to do something that's kind of a little on the edge, don't go to somebody that's already over there and say, what do you think of that, right? Get some counsel from some people who are in the Word. And I think it's harder for young people to do that than older people. The older you get, you realize how much you don't know. When I was young, I did carpentry work and worked full-time with computers, as you know, some of you know. But I also did this carpentry work on the side. Well, it was just kind of extra money to have. You know, if I made some money on a day off, then it was money to have. If I messed up on the job, well, so what? Big deal. I'll do it over again. I got time. Well, then all of a sudden I started doing it to feed my family. A whole different ballgame then. If I messed up and wasted 3 hours or $100 worth of materials, it was food off the table. And so I ask anybody, any question, any time. And I still do, because I don't want to do it again. I don't want to mess up. I want to learn all I can from anybody that knows anything about whatever I'm doing, so that I don't make a mess of it. And yet, do we do that in our Christian life? You know, sometimes we get just going blindly through life like this, with our blinders on, and the only thing that's ruling us is our own heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know your own heart. I can't know your own heart. And you're letting it rule you without reflecting on the Word of God? How does the Word of God have preeminence in your life, in the decisions you make? Are you seeking counsel from other people? Sometimes I look around, and not to be mean, but I think, man, is somebody's decision maker broke? You know, I mean, what do they think? Well, everyone has their own, you know, is responsible for their own actions. But do we magnify Jesus Christ in the decisions we make? Asking other people for counsel is not a sign of weakness; it's a sign of wisdom, because you desire to know something that other people know. The collective idea, the collective wisdom in this room from various people is much greater than any one person. Obviously, we just need to ask and seek God's counsel in it. How can we have the power that the Word of God might prevail? First off is fearing the powers that are there. Realizing it's not a joke, staying away from it. Realizing that Jesus Christ has the power over them by striving to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next thing is, in verse 18 and 19, so they got to this point, they realized, I don't have the power. I need to magnify them. I need to make some steps and get right. Verse 18, many of them believed, came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all the men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They came and confessed and they burned. They had a decision in their mind that I need to get rid of some things in my life. And they came and they confessed, as I was wrong about this, I need to burn it. And they got rid of it, those books. Those books are 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know what a piece of silver is worth, maybe $10, maybe $20. They burned something that was worth $500,000 to $1 million because they wanted to get right with God. Getting right, making those steps so that God, the Word of God, will grow and prevail in your life will cost you something. It might not be anything monetary, but it will cost you something. But that's a step they took. Now, I've known people in the past who, had we said, you know what, let's go take your old records and CDs and take them all, and we'll burn them or this or that, and, you know, just destroy them all. I've known people in the past that would have said, amen, amen, and gone and brought their stuff and thrown it in the fire, and they would have burnt up. But you know what? Their heart wasn't in it. Maybe they're doing it just because everyone else is doing it. Maybe they're doing it because out of guilt. Maybe they're doing it for whatever reason. You see, you can make decisions in your life that are outward. You can say, ma'am, that maybe God puts on your heart, and you say, I'm going to wear a dress all the time, no matter what. Dress, that's what I'm going to do. That's my heart. That's it. That's good. But you know what? If your heart's not in it, there'll always be that seed of rebellion. There'll always be that seed of rebellion in there. Don't just do it to do it. Do it because you love God, whatever the conviction it is. And so many times, and you know, because you know what will happen in that case? It won't last. It'll always be just an outward show, and nothing will have changed inside. And it'll always be that little seed of bitterness. And I just use that for an example, but there's numerous things like that. So we have some things here. What kind of things in our life? I'm just going to draw a little picture here. So we're not burning things here, but I viewed it once. A pastor preached a message a long time ago, and all I remember out of the whole message was that there's a bridge back to the world. And we're over here. This is God and His will. And this is you as a person on this side. There was a day that we were the child of the devil. The lust of the Father we did. We thought things. We were on our way to hell. We were over here. The lake of fire was our destiny. We were in the miry clay. And there's a day that most of us in this room accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And He put us up on a rock, put my feet upon some solid ground. Now we're a child of the King. And our home is heaven. But you know what? We're over here spiritually. But how often do we look back to here? What's over on this side? What's back in this world? That's our constant struggle, isn't it? In his Christian life is, you know, we're over here spiritually. We're on our way to heaven. But it's a constant struggle of what's back here that continually tantalizes us and wants to draw us back. What kinds of things? Oh, there's all sorts of things over here. There's music, old friends. Oh, fear of man. It's the fear of man. Fear of man bringeth his snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You say, well, why is fear of man over there? Because why don't we do the things we do? Why don't we witness to that coworker, to a family member, the people on the street, the people at the holiday station? Why don't we give them a track? If you're the fear of man, why don't you come to visitation? Or lazy? Or you physically can't? Oh, there's some other things over here. How about just the internet? Good old Facebook? Gaming? You say, what's wrong with all that? Sometimes nothing. Toys, hobbies, sports. Say, what's wrong with sports? Most time, nothing. What are you doing with all that stuff? How much time are you spending in all that stuff? Is it drawing you away from God? Are you edifying one another? Are you being an example to the other Christians? Are you putting stuff on Facebook that you wouldn't dare speak to somebody face to face for, but you'll go ahead and put it out to the whole world? That you can't converse with people anymore? How much time? I'm just asking, just throwing out how much time. So these things always, I'm saying these things, a lot of them in themselves aren't a sin, aren't an issue. There's all sorts of things. Here's one that's always is unthankfulness. And many, many more. There's all these things. You be honest with yourself for a few seconds. Put your little thing over here on this side. Okay, what draws you away from God, what you constantly battle with, put it over here. And there's some other things. We got covetousness. The Bible says drunkards, revelers, extortioners, greedy, filthy lucre. Just got to work a little extra overtime, get a few bucks. Unthankful, unholy, eyes full of adultery. Man, oh man, is that prevalent nowadays? You know, not that long ago, I don't even have to sound like an old person, when some of these older teens, when they're babies, they couldn't access anything on the internet. You guys really, obviously you realize it. The little smartphones, you can get any piece of trash on there that you can get anywhere else. And there's really no filters for them. Do your parents know that? Your kids have in their palm of their hand any sort of pornography and disgusting garbage that there is, can they have in the palm of their hand? You would never dream of taking a pornographic magazine and putting it, oh, we'll put it face down on the coffee table, Johnny, and Mom and I are going out for the evening. You never dream of that. But you'll let them have it in their palm of their hand. Interesting, isn't it? Huh. Think about that one. But why is it? All those things are here. We have so many distractions, people, now. Why? Why do we have it? Well, technology. The devil's turning up the heat. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's not going to sit back and say, well, I don't have much time left. I think I'll just let things go the way they are. He's going to turn up the heat on everybody. He's going to have more and more distractions, more and more things to take our focus away from God. What's over here? What's over things are pure. What's, I can't write fast enough. Whatever things are true, whichever things are honest, purity, whatever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. One big one is contentment. Are you content as a Christian? You know why, people, we stray over here sometimes, or at least have our eyes looking this way? We're not content. We're not content the way we should be. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, having food and raiment, a house, car, friends, job, good church, good health, let us be therewith content. You know, most of you have that, don't you? Don't most of you have food, raiment, car, friends, good job, good church, good health? Maybe a few bucks in the bank. Enough to get food on your table, but we're not content. But the Bible says it's food and raiment. Let us be therewith content. Oh, people, God has given us so much more in this country than we deserve. Let your conversations be without covetous and be content, Hebrews 13:5, with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So contentment is a huge, huge one, to be on the Lord's side here. Another one is, these are very broad categories, deny self. Deny self. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And when he had called, Mark 8:34, same verse pretty much, "Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Mark 10:21, "Take up his cross and follow me." Luke 9:23, "And he said to them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." Are we in agreement that we're to, as Christians, that we are to deny ourselves? That we are to deny ourselves of things that people have fun with over here, that people that you know are detrimental to your Christian walk? Are we in agreement that we as Christians are to deny ourselves? Then let me ask you something. Why is it then that many times parents will not teach, and this is for your parents, one of the more important things you can teach that child is to deny themselves. Every child, "Oh, he's so cute. He's, oh, look at him, look at him, look at him. Oh, he's running all over. Oh, cute, cute, cute." Okay, fine. That's good. Love him. Train him. Hug him. Read, spend time with him. But if you let that little kid think that the world revolves around him or her, you're flirting with disaster here. You really think, what is the point here that, "Oh, Johnny, everything, you're cute, everything revolves around you, or you got a basketball game, oh, we'll go there, we'll go there, we'll go there. Where do you need to go for you next week? We're going to go here for you next week? We're going to go here next week for you?" And all of a sudden they're a teenager, all of a sudden they're young 20s, and you wonder why they don't have a heart for God? Because they've never had to deny themselves. Because their parents, quote, loved them so much that they just were afraid to say no to them. They're afraid to say no. They're afraid to train them up. "Well, if I say no, I might lose them." Really? If you say no according to the Scriptures, you don't think that's right? You're going to deviate from Scripture, what you know is right, and say yes to them, let them go off and do whatever? People, you need to teach your kids that they need to deny themselves. Why? Because when they're growing up, the only authority they know in the world is you. You are a picture of God to them. As they get older, you start training them and teaching them about Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they see mom and dad, and they see God over here. And pretty soon, in their teen years, mom and dad go here, and God's up here. And you know what? And when they get to be 20-some years old, you're an advisor. That's all you are. Oh, they can make rules if they live in your house, but you're an advisor. And they better have that connection with God early on. And if they're not going to deny themselves for a mom or dad that they can see, they'll never deny themselves for God they can't see. And you know what? Say, "Well, what's the fruit of that?" Well, you can guess what the fruit of not that, if you just give them everything or not even give them everything, just don't teach them to deny themselves. Teach them that they're so very, very important that everything is about you, Billy boy. Then you got some issues. But what is the fruit of teaching them to deny themselves? See, I'm 50 years old. And I was brought up in a home that they loved me. My parents loved me, and I thank the Lord for that. My dad later got saved, and my mom was saved from early on and never knew it. But anyway, I thank the Lord that they loved me. But they never taught me to deny myself. In some respects, I pretty much got what I wanted within reason. And 40 years later, I'm still fighting the battle of having to deny myself. I'm still fighting the battle of these big old cables that hold this bridge back to the world of self. I'm still fighting it. I'm not blaming my parents. That's the way it is. Most of us grew up in that way in this room. But people, parents, if you can teach your kids to deny self, what are the fruits of that? Because then when your child's late teens, early 20s, whenever it might be, and they get looking around at young lady, young man, and the Lord taps them and says, "Hey, be patient. Hang in there. I'll give you someone. I'll give you someone that help you serve me better. I'll give you someone. Just be patient. I'll give you someone. I'll give you a spouse that help you walk with me the rest of your lives, that you can have a victorious Christian life." that you'll have joy in your heart. I'll give you some. Just wait. But see, if they're not taught to deny themselves, first sweet young Athena comes by and says, hey, you want to go to the show with me next week? Wow. Yeah, I'll go. You want to do this? Yeah, I'll go. Look at it. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'd like to come over soon. Just like that. They've never taught to deny themselves. They're not going to learn at 19 years old or 15 or 13 or 12, whatever. The other thing is, why the fruits? Why does that have some fruit? Don't you want your kids to serve God? Some preacher comes through, some missionary comes through. God taps on your son or daughter's shoulder and says, hey, see those slides? There's really a great need over there, isn't there? Yeah, there is. There's a good need. There's a great need. Susan, will you go? John, Billy, whatever, will you go over there? Will you go over to that land or some land? Will you do it? Well, yeah, Lord, I'll go. Because she's not thinking about self. Because you've helped train it out of them at an early age. So that's a little 5-minute side note there, but I've just observed that and seen that over these years, and I get a really, really get a blessing out of seeing young people that will have a desire to serve the Lord. And I just want to commend them. A lot of them have such a heart for God that I never had at that age. You know what I mean? When I was 13, 18 years old, the furthest thing from my mind was God. And now we have some teens that go to a mission trip to Mexico. It's $700. Yeah, I'll go. Because they've been trained up to deny themselves and realize that God is the one that's important in serving Him. So take up our cross daily and follow Him. Secondly, along that same line, as parents, if you're going to be that way, if you're going to try to teach your children that, then by all means, you and I need to be the example. You and I need to be the example of denying ourselves in our lives. Because you can talk all you want to talk. And if you're not walking the walk, they're not going to listen to you. So you need to walk, strive to be that example for them. The other thing is to seek holiness. That's over here, of course, to seek after holiness. Now being made free from sin and became servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and an end everlasting life. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness in flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but holiness. That's just trying to live right and please Him. And back, and which brings us to the next point, is just pleasing God. And you could, these are just a few things. Just a few things. Pleasing God. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. That's an amazing thing, to always do the things that the Lord, to always do those things that the Lord wanted to do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. See, we forget that. We forget, I mentioned in Sunday school a little bit about the spiritual battle. We forget that it's a fight. And we go through the life, we go through our lives, and we hear preaching, and God deals with us, and you know, we start getting rid of some of these cables that hold up the bridge here and there. We try getting rid of some of them, and that's a good thing. I know you may laugh. I know the Lord probably did. I thought I was being real spiritual back after I got saved, and I turned the presets of my car radio off of KQ92 and just had KS95 on there, and then you know, that was a good thing. But the Lord just like, oh man. But that was a while ago. But we start snapping some of those cables. You start taking down some of this bridge. But you know what? The biggest thing we have here is our self. It revolves around self, and you know, putting down this old flesh. That's what we need to work on as Christians. Do we want the Word of God to grow and prevail? Do we want to have victories in our lives? They came and they confessed. The Bible says that it cost, the price that was 50,000 pieces of silver. You know, trying to serve the Lord is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you, and yet inwardly, it's going to cost you something in the short term, but the long term, obviously, it's all worth it. You know, what we need to do is we need to take and cut these cables here of self. This is Golden Gate Bridge has two giant cables. Each of them are 3 feet in diameter. Within each one of those is 27,000 small wires. You say, wow, that, how could we ever cut through that? By asking God. You can't go up there and just cut them yourself. You need to want to bad enough to cut those cables back to this world. You want to, in the Bible, they burnt the bridge. We're going to destroy the bridge. You're going to cut those cables, this whole thing falls down. This is what, I can't do it on my own. No, you can't do it on your own. The only way you can do that is with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it over here, Christian? What is it? I named some things. Maybe some of you took offense to them. That wasn't my intention whatsoever. I threw some things up there. There's 50 more on this side. There's 100 more on that side. I was trying to draw some type of a picture here that there's a gulf between us. You will never be able to go back here and be happy. It'll never work. You'll be the most miserable person on the face of this earth. So the best thing to do is to turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? Look to Him and forget all this garbage here. Then you'll have joy. Then you'll have peace. The Bible says there, chapter 19, verse 15, it says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? Question to ask yourself this morning, it says, who are you? Who am I? Who are you? Where are you in this walk with God? Have you gotten rid of a lot of these cables here and just waiting for the big moment here to just, I'm done with this world. I want to cut that bridge. Maybe it's old friends that keep dragging you back. Maybe it's love of money. Maybe it's pride, prestige. Maybe it's laziness. You know what it is. Come on. You don't have to go through a whole bunch of words here to try to find it. You know what it is in your life. What is it? I gave my life to thee. What is that song, 375? Times like this I wish I could sing. I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. You standing up here. I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell. I left my father's throne above, and yet how often people do you make that trip back over? I'm not trying to be hard. You know what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm no different. Nobody in here is any different. We all struggle with this. You don't think the spiritual battle is hard? The devil is putting more and more pressure. All these electronic stuff we have now can be used for good, it can be used for bad. But the devil has so many avenues into our lives now they never had before. We need to guard against them. You want the power that comes from God? You want the Word of God to grow and prevail? The Bible says in verse 20 there, it says, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. What does prevail mean again? Has had victory, to have power, to have preeminence. Do you want that in your life? Where do you want to be as a Christian 5 years from now? I'm not this kind of person, a big goal setter in 5 years, I want to be this. I don't really do that much. But really, where do you want to be? What do you want to have accomplished in your Christian life? If you just want to be faithful, that is a good thing. And you know what? I appreciate the faithfulness of people in this room. You don't know how much it means for those of us that have been here a while to look around and see a new Christian. I'm not going to embarrass any people, but boy, I've seen some new people come in and just take a hold of the Word of God and just get on fire and start growing. Man, that's an encouragement. That's a blessing. You know what it is to see. It encourages me greatly. I have a missionary come through and we were able to give him a good sum of money. And it's not like somebody gives $700 and everybody else gives $10. A lot of people sacrifice a lot. And that's a blessing. That's good. So what I'm saying here, people, is that I'm not trying to puff you up, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of good things. And that's really good. That's really, really good. We had, 20 people go to Mexico, and I know 7 going to Bulgaria. We had 27,000 tracks out last couple weeks ago at the state fair. That's good. That's great. All I'm asking is that what is it in our lives that we can do more for Jesus Christ? How much can we just get rid of this bridge, cut this cable of self, and this thing's gone, and we don't have that connection so readily, and we can just turn to God and serve Him? Revival's coming up in a few weeks. Someday we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's just be in prayer for one another. Let's be a blessing one to another to try to help each other. And like I say, I was trying to give you something this morning that maybe will encourage you, that will motivate you to try to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ, to think about what He did for us. Because you know what? One day we'll be in heaven looking at His face. And in an instant, all this isn't going to matter. All are debating about, is it high enough? Is it low enough? Is my music good? Is it not good? Should I do this? Should I not do that? I wonder what I should do. It's not going to matter. All that's going to matter is, oh God, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't do more while I was here. That's all we're going to say. And people, let's conduct ourselves. Let's live out the rest of our spiritual journey with the Lord. Let's live it out in a way that we can take something to God and He can say to us, well done, a good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, I wasn't trying to offend anybody needlessly or any such thing like that. Lord, I love these people and You love them far more than we can imagine. You died for us, God. And You do everything You possibly can for us. And yet it's our choices, it's our decisions that will either draw us to You or draw us away from You. Father, help us to realize that this life is not a joke. It's not just a big fun ride. But Lord, there's souls to save. There's families to raise. There's ways that we conduct ourselves that may be pleasing, that we might be pleasing to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 392, if you could. For a second here. If you need to come forward, you can. But this morning was primarily pretty much aimed at Christians. And one thing that obviously needs to be said, that if you're on the one side there, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what man has done and what religion has done and what the devil has done is he's made this whole thing so complicated. In reality, the Bible says, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's as simple as trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And by, like I quoted a verse earlier, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There's nothing that you or I can do to merit heaven. The only thing we can do is turn to Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I deserve hell for my sins. Will you save me? That's all it is. That's all it is. If there's any doubt in somebody's mind, to see one of us afterwards, and we can show you out of the Bible, how that you can know for sure when you die, you're going to heaven. continue a little bit longer here. First chorus, that song says, "Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side." People, life's a battle. This Christian life's a battle. We just need to persevere. Ask God for help. Continue on. "Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway. Thou will be my guide." And go ahead and continue on the second verse. Jensen, would you close us in prayer today?
Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for the truths that are in your word. Thank you for the sermon this morning, Lord. Darling, it's something we need to be reminded of over and over again. It's something we need to pray for each other about all the time. Lord, just to be closer to you is our true desire. I pray that it's our heart's desire. Lord, just to do your will in every one of our lives, to serve you until the end, until you come to get us. In your name, we pray.
Amen. All right, thanks again for coming, and hopefully see you tonight, 6 o'clock.